Jesus plus nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew, and we are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines here at the top of the hour. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage, or perhaps there's something that you heard in church this last weekend, and, you're still scratching your head, you're not sure about it. Let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755 is the number. We've got open lines, plenty of room for you tonight, very little wait. If you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got a new question tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number with open lines, 877-655-6755. We're going to go ahead and start off tonight's broadcast in Ontario, Canada, and we'll talk with Greg. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. What's on your mind tonight, Greg?
Just curious. I hear a lot about, like, Messianic Jews, and I'm just curious what that is. Never heard a good explanation, so I was wondering
okay.
if you could.
Sure, yeah. It's basically a movement that combines some elements of Christianity with elements of Jewish tradition. And so, you know, there's different shades of that or different facets of that. And I guess you could say there's a sliding scale of people who sort of add elements from Judaism into their Christianity. And, you know, it might start out, in my view, it might start out innocent and fine. And, you know, people are saying, well, let's just honor the Old Testament and let's look into what the Jews did and let's just study it to know it. And, of course, that's fine. You can study anything to know it. But it's when you start practicing it and the why of that practice that things can really get off base. So, you know, of course, the Bible tells us that we need to be aware of these sort of things. And as Colossians 2 puts it, let nobody act as your judge with regard to a new moon festival or a Sabbath day. And those are Jewish traditions. And it says those things are just a shadow and the reality is Christ. So, you know, it's one thing to study the Old Testament traditions, to study the traditions under the law, to study Judaism. It's one thing to know about it. It's another thing to engage in those practices. And if somebody says, well, I'm just doing them for fun, well, okay, have fun. But once we step across that motivation and step into another motivation of trying to get right with God or stay right with God or experience a second level of Christianity or one up other people or, that sort of thing, well, then, of course, we're in error. And, you know, it starts off with, hey, I just want to add a feast to my celebration of Christ. I want to add a Jewish feast. And then after that, well, I just want to add this or add that element. And again, it's all about motivation, right? And many people start out thinking, well, I'm just exploring. I'm just enhancing my faith. I'm just, looking into these matters. And then lo and behold, they get sucked into a system where they feel like they can measure their observances and measure their obedience and measure their faithfulness and measure themselves by what they're doing. And that's what the law provides, a way to measure yourself. And then they start thinking that they're more right with God or better with God or closer to God because of these things. So, you know, those are my concerns as we look at Messianic Judaism. And, you know, you say, I'm a Messianic Jew, and then somebody else says, I'm a Baptist, and somebody else says, I'm a Lutheran, and somebody else, you know, we're identifying ourselves by movements, and I'm not a big fan of that anyway. You know, should I run around saying I'm a Messianic Gentile? No. You know, I'm in Christ, and that's where my identity is. So it's not about bloodline, it's not about lineage, it's not about heritage, it's not about geography, it's not about Israel, as awesome as it is that the prophets and the lineage of Jesus came through Israel, and there's all of that foundation, as Paul talks about respecting the Jews, and they're deserving of respect in every way. But salvation has come to the Gentiles now too, and that dividing wall has been torn down. And so for us to say, well, we need Jesus plus Judaism, or we need Jesus plus the Sabbath, or we need Jesus plus feasts, or we need Jesus plus the law, well, we're contradicting the New Testament message of the gospel at that point. So those are my thoughts on it. I hope that illuminates a bit and gives you some food for thought. Appreciate your call tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Be great to hear from you. Let's go once again. Well, we'll give you the number. It's 877-655-6755. We've still got some open lines, plenty of room for you right now if you want to get in with your question tonight. Again, 877-655-6755. We're going to go out to Toronto now, and we'll talk with Greg. Hey, Greg.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing? I hope you're getting better.
I am. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, good, good. You know, my question is on Romans 7, 14 to 25, Paul's wretched man passage. And I've heard it, your message before, and I think you're totally point on. I meet so many Christians that are really glum and down in the mouth because they figure they have to go through that experience, and they never know when it's going to happen. And I think what you're saying is that it's not actually Paul's present experience, but rather Paul is describing his experience as a highly educated Pharisee trying to keep the law in his own effort. Thus said, I pass the airways over to you.
Okay. Bless. All right, Greg. Well, first, thanks for wishing me well. If you don't know what Greg's talking about, maybe you haven't been listening the last couple of weeks, but I have been struggling with my voice, and that's because I came down with something. I guess half the country has it in the United States and maybe in Canada too, but I am getting better after about 2 weeks. I'm able to get sentences out, and that alone is something I'm thankful for. But Greg, yeah, we're in Romans chapter 7 and beginning in verse 14. This is where the argument starts. I mean, there's a big debate. It's been around for 2,000 years. People have been going back and forth about it. Is Paul a Christian in this passage, or is he not yet a Christian? And I believe he's not yet a Christian. I think there's plenty of evidence here of that. Number one, if we're going to jump through these real quickly, at least a few of them, in verse 14, he says he's sold in bondage to sin. Is that a Christian? Are Christians sold in bondage to sin? I don't think so. Romans 6, the previous chapter, says he who has died has been freed from sin. So we died with Christ. We're freed from sin. We're not sold in bondage to sin. If anybody bought us, it's God. We are a people of God's own possession. God bought us with his blood. And so we are not sold in bondage to sin. Then he goes on, and, you know, I could present three or four things here, but the bottom line is, in the next few verses, he's confessing that the law is good, and the law is his goal, and the law is his hope, and the law is his focus. Well, is that true for a Christian? Do we wake up every day and try to keep the law? Do we wake up every day talking about how we need to focus on the law and fixate on the law and have the law as our goal? No, not if we know what we're talking about. The Bible says in the New Testament, we've died to the law, Romans 7. It says that we have died to the law, Galatians chapter 2. It says that we are not under the law, as Galatians tells us. Christ is the end of the law, as Romans tells us, for all those who believe. So if you're a person who believes, if you're a believer, if you're a new creation, if you're in Christ, then you are dead to the law and you're not under the law. Now back to Romans 7, whoever this guy is, saved or lost, he is fixated on the law. So, you know, I would say that a person who comes up to you on the street and says, hey, by the way, I want you to know I'm sold in bondage to sin and I try to keep the law every day, but I can't. Well, that person doesn't understand salvation. They don't know what it is to be in Christ. So that's why I think this is not the normal Christian life. But you're right, Greg. People take this passage and they think, well, if Paul never had victory over sin as a Christian, then maybe I'll never have victory over sin. There's no real hope this side of heaven. And so then we just resign ourselves to a lesser experience on the planet. What I would say about Romans 7 is this: even if you disagree with me, even if you think Paul is saved, still, this is not the normal Christian life. This is the normal law-based life. But you and I were not invited. We're not invited to a law-based life. We're invited to a Jesus-based life. So this is not our destiny, and we shouldn't look at this as normal. I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do. I'm discovering that it's not me, it's sin dwelling in me. I'm a slave of sin. I'm sold in bondage to sin. Well, that is not a Christian, or at least we can say that is not a Christian walking in God's grace, living under God's grace and knowing it. So, you know, in the end, we can agree to disagree out there. If you have a different opinion of Romans 7, you might think Paul's saved and maybe he's spent 14 years being tutored by Christ, but he's still obsessed with avoiding coveting. I don't know about that, but we'll agree to disagree. And, you know, in the end, what we're saying is, please, please don't choose law. Don't live under law. As an unbeliever, get saved and live under grace. As a believer, don't live under the law. Find Jesus' grace and trust his grace and know his grace and recognize that his grace is sufficient for you. That his grace is going to teach you to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. So, you know, there's lots here that I could say about Romans 7. He finishes out saying, well, who's going to rescue me? Thanks be to God. I think that's him getting saved. So, if I were to title this portion of Romans 7, I would title it, I Fought the Law and the Law Won. Or I would title it, The Discovery of a Parasite Called Sin. And that's what this is about. Under the law, Paul discovered that he was a slave to a parasite called sin. Now, as a Christian, you're not truly a slave to anything. In fact, we're led by God's Spirit, we're dead to the law, we're dead to sin. We're not designed to be a slave of sin, or certainly we're not sold in bondage to it. So this is not the normal Christian life. There really is hope right here, right now, on this side of heaven, because we're joined to Jesus, we're one with Christ, and the counsel of the Holy Spirit is real. He's leading us away from sin, so we don't have to be victims of it. Appreciate your call, Greg. Those are my thoughts on Romans 7. For more on that, you can go to our website. I've got plenty of messages on Romans 7. You can go to andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. And while I'm mentioning the website, we are a donor-based ministry. We are listener-driven. So if you're listening to this broadcast and you like what we're about and you want to support us, well, it's that time of year. It's the year end. And we have a target of $75,000 that we hope to raise over the next several days in order to go into the new year stable and strong. And hopefully, we'll be looking at opportunities to even grow the ministry in the new year. That would be fun. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to help support us, go to our website. Again, that's andrewfarley.org, andrewfarley.org. Click on the Donate tab there. It'll take just a couple of minutes to partner with us. All right, well, let's go now to Buffalo, New York, and we'll talk with Valerie. Hey, Valerie.
Hi. Excuse me. Good evening. Hey. Hi. Here's my question. Well, when Jesus came to the earth plane, he was only dealing with the Jews because they had to fulfill the Abraham covenant. So then when he died on the cross, the Gentiles then were saved. We're going to be saved for salvation. So then when the Gentiles, before that, when the Gentiles died, did they go to hell or where did they go?
Okay. All right, Valerie. Great question. I mean, first, you know, we want to clarify that there are Gentiles today. That's probably you. It's definitely me. It's most of our audience. We are Gentiles living under that same new covenant, the same new covenant that Jesus brought in. 2 Corinthians 3 says that God has made us ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 3 was written to Greek people. 2 Corinthians 3 was written to Gentiles like you and me. And the point is, there are some people out there teaching that there's two different gospels, that there's two different messages, that there's one gospel for the Gentiles and a different gospel for the Jews, that there's two different covenants or two different messages, and that's not true. The Bible tells us that we are all one. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 3 is a great passage to affirm that, because this new covenant is for everybody, not just for the Jews. As we read in Hebrews, the new covenant is for Israel. The new covenant replaces the old covenant because it's the fulfillment of it in Jesus. And so that's how we can truly say we're dead to the law and we're alive to God. It's because of the new covenant founded on better promises. But the new covenant is not just for Israel. Apparently, it's also for Corinth. It's also for Canada. It's also for the United States. It's also for all the Gentile nations, thus fulfilling the promise made to Abraham that he, by faith, would be the father of how many nations? Many, many nations, not just Israel. Many nations. And that, fortunately for us, we're blessed that it includes us too. That's how we are invited to be in Christ. Now, as far as Gentiles in the Old Testament, I mean, our answer comes also from the book of Hebrews as we look at people of faith from the Old Testament who were saved. And all around the Bible, I mean, there's certainly mention of people who are saved by faith, even though they weren't part of Israel. So whether you're in the Old Testament or you're in the New Testament, you're saved by faith. The message of salvation hasn't changed. God's way of getting right before Him is still the same today as it was thousands of years ago. It is by faith, not by works. That's how Rahab the harlot, yeah, the prostitute Rahab, she was made right before God, and not by doing a bunch of great stuff, but instead by believing God, by responding to His message. So there are some Gentiles in the Old Testament that acknowledged God, sought to know God, and what does it say? It says, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. I don't understand the mechanics of all that, but I do trust that God knows what He's doing, and He knows the hearts of people that are truly crying out to get to know Him for real. Thanks for your call tonight, Valerie. I hope that helps. Call back anytime. We would love to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. We'll talk with Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hi there. Andrew, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, thank you. And, you too.
Thank you. And my question is this. I've been dating a woman who is of the Baha'i faith, mm-hmm. and as a follower of Christ, it's been a real tough, it's been very difficult in that when I do try to witness to this person, they of course don't believe. They have their own faith. They believe all roads lead to Rome, mm-hmm. so to speak. And I'm wondering about the scripture in 1 Corinthians that speaks about being unequally yoked. And some people say that it's not referring to marriage, and some people say that it is. And I would like you to clarify what that scripture means exactly, please.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, first of all, I would say this, that we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So it's 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and it's verse 14. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are temples of the living God." So it goes on to quote, you know, from the Old Testament, a good solid quote here to support the point, "Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord." So there's a ton here that we could talk about, my friend. I know that some argue about this passage, but whether it's arguable that it's about marriage or not, which I certainly do believe, by the way, I do believe it applies to marriage here. I think Paul's advice is, why join yourself to someone if you're light and they're darkness? Why claim that you're going to enjoy harmony with someone if you have Christ living in you and they don't? And in fact, they are openly rejecting the Christ that you possess within you. It goes on to say, what do you have in common with an unbeliever? So, you know, I know you have all the right feelings. I mean, you have those in love feelings and you have those connection feelings and thoughts, and I'm sure they're a beautiful person and you can imagine yourself living a long life with them. But, you know, the spiritual side of things is not like one topic among 500. The spiritual side of things is actually the core of your being. I mean, I just want you to imagine like an egg has three parts, with the outer shell and the yolk in the middle and all that. I mean, you have three parts. You have spirit, soul, and body. And the spirit part of you is the biggest part. I mean, the body is just a shell. It's an earth suit. It's something you wear every day on the planet, and you'll get a new one later. So that's what the body is. And then you've got a spirit and a soul. Your soul is like psychology. It's where we get the word psychology from. It's psuche in the Greek. And then the spirit is the most important part of you, the largest part of you. It's what separates you from the animal kingdom. So you've got Christ living in your spirit. You've got Christ at the core of your being. This other person does not. Man, they may have a fabulous personality. You may be attracted to her in her personality, in her body. You're attracted to her. But as far as the cores of your being, the two of you could not be more different. You are alive to righteousness. She's alive to sin. You are alive to God. She is dead to God. So there's all kinds of differences about your nature, about your spirit, about who you are at the heart. And I would say take that to heart and consider 2 Corinthians 6. Go read it for yourself. It's one thing for me to give you my opinion on it. It's another for you to, well, go through verse 14 and following and say, well, what does righteousness have to do with wickedness? Well, I don't know. Is she really wicked? Well, she does a lot of nice things. But you see, how God looks at things is this. We're either spiritually alive or we're not. There's plenty of good-looking wickedness out there. But the unbeliever's righteousness is like filthy rags to God. God is saying, is it about my son? Does Christ live in her? What does she say about Jesus? And if you've had those conversations and she has simply said, no, thank you, I'm not interested, no way, and rejected Jesus, or if she said, no, no, Jesus is no big deal, well, those would be big red flags of concern for me, my friend. I personally would run for the hills.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.